Mindfulness is defined as the practice of paying attention in the present moment, and it's extremely hard to do. I don't mean focusing on doing one task at work and sticking to an unrealistic Google Calendar schedule like we've all once tried, but being mindful of your feelings, your thoughts, and emotions without any outside circumstances or internal obstacles distracting you from your intention. Yes, I know I may sound like a yoga teacher right now, but it's actually a really important thing that we don't practice enough. We're constantly in this cycle of moving, multitasking, and panic. And sometimes, the best way to expand a horizon is by sitting down and looking at how to expand the way you think and feel about certain things through stillness. Welcome to Unmuted Generations, and in this week we'll dive into the art of mindfulness and how to train it. Hello everyone, I'm Ryan Mew and I hope you're all having such a great day so far. In each episode of Unmuted Generations, we are focused on expanding our horizons and personal knowledge of the world through storytelling and sharing unique perspectives. My guest this week is Callie Chua. He's a Bay Area-based fitness instructor, he's a yoga teacher, and he's a great coach overall when it comes to mindfulness as he's led all sorts of different workshops, events, and conferences. How's it going today, Callie? Glad to have you on.
Doing well, Ryan. Thank you for having me out here.
No, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Your messaging just resonated with me. I'm really glad we were able to connect over Asian Hustle Network, first of all. And second of all, I really agree with a lot of your messages. Like sometimes I'll see things on Instagram like, hey, how do you make the most money or revenue, or how do you accumulate the most Instagram followers? And your message is really all around kind of the art of mindfulness and focusing on the singular as opposed to the plural and everything going around us. So I'm kind of curious, like, how do you define mindfulness for people who don't quite understand it or aren't familiar with the term? And secondly, like, what led you to focusing on mindfulness as opposed to, like, you know, the typical let's make a lot of money and showing off Bugattis and stuff?
Well, I would define mindfulness as how you're paying attention. And it's really about being present with what you're doing, what's in front of you, who you're with, and how you're feeling. And really just being fully aware of right now. Because our thoughts are always processing, it's contemplating, and we're sometimes illuminated by the past or we're worried of the future. It's quite difficult, but it can also be simple and just depends on how we train, how we practice our focus. And of course, culturally, we're not really accustomed to this mindfulness and this stillness because we're always like taught to be productive, to move, just really be on the go. And I guess in a good example of that would be like social media, right? There are times where it doesn't help our focus and we're just scrolling nonstop, you know, one post after another.
Well, it's made to do that. You know, I mean, it's like if I'm watching stuff on YouTube and I'm trying to look up like an MMA fighter video, then they'll show like five other videos. It's very addicting in that, right?
It's the algorithm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can thank that or we can blame that.
Yeah. You have a good point with that though. I think in our society, at least, like at least we're always kind of taught like don't multitask. Like everybody knows multitasking isn't necessarily a good thing, but as time goes on and you get more responsibilities and bills and you kind of grow up from being like that kid with no responsibility and you know, growing adult and you have all these things and then you go into parenthood, it's like the only option is to multitask. And I think a lot of people suffer from not being able to like be present in the first place.
Oh, definitely. Multitasking can be, I guess, overrated. And even with, I guess, families and parents, like my older sister, she's a mother and she's kind of struggles with her only daughter. It's because she's just also trained to do things in a certain way, to do things so quickly and focusing on her needs rather than her daughter needs. Now she has to do that other opposite and focus on her daughter rather than herself. So I guess just where you just train your focus, where you put that focus in is really on how that matters, whether it's for a few minutes or a few hours and just redirecting on those priorities.
Yeah. And that was another question I was going to ask. So in terms of like focusing on and being present, is that something where it's kind of like a light bulb where it just kind of you eventually get to that point and it just flicks on and you're like, okay, now I'm able to like maintain focus and focus on the singular? Or is it something that needs to like continually be trained over time?
A little of both, I would say. Personally, for me, it does need to be like sustained. You need to do it. You kind of have to feed that type of stillness in for yourself. And it's just kind of created this balance of work, of life, of family, relationships. But as for just that light bulb moment, you know, you continue to practice and just do things, whether it's yoga or meditation, you get to a certain point where you've just achieved what you're looking for. And for me, it took, you know, a few years actually. I don't really have like exact dates, but I just have kind of these feelings of just that transition, you know. And I, don't get me wrong, I still feel sometimes like I'm off, I can be off, and I need to just take a moment to just either breathe to reset, or I actually need to just maybe exercise or do something to kind of relieve myself.
Yeah, exercise and the physical is like such a big thing. Like we see it a lot with like the Shaolin monks and stuff up in Asia. I mean, I know they're very focused on like, you know, meditating and finding inner peace, and they aren't necessarily focused on like the money aspect as much, but I know that they train in all sorts of martial arts and everything like that, and training the mind and the body. Like, I used to go to the gym like literally every single night, like regardless of when I worked the next morning or what tasks I had in front of me. Like, it was always consistent. Like, go to the gym a couple hours at night, go on the treadmill, you know, don't really think about anything. And when COVID hit, I remember I was like so restless. I would be on like walks, I would do all sorts of home workouts, but I couldn't like really, it wasn't necessarily like my physical that was suffering, but it was more of like my mental and my fortitude and being able to like have that dedicated amount of time to think about something. It's really hard when you're trying to work out, you know, at home or even outside. And if it gets too late, or, you know, this is probably more of a California thing, but if it gets too cold outside, you know, we're a little spoiled in that aspect. What have you done to kind of train your mind and your body to get to that point where you could just like focus on one thing, like singularly, if that makes sense?
What I've done, it was really just kind of changed my environment. So it's, you know, like for yourself, it would be that gym that you need to be in. But for me, it would be anywhere, like the gym. It would be kind of like a temple for me to just work out and just feel good. But it would also be also taking like fitness classes, whether it was like a yoga class or a Les Mills class, even Zumba. Like, I highly recommend like Zumba for just anyone, because it's just difficult. It just makes you move and you're just having fun. And at the same time, there's a good community and culture with that. So shout out to some Zumba, everyone who does Zumba.
I'm so big on yoga, just in terms of like fitness and everything. Like, I think sometimes when we think about going to the gym, like a lot of things that like hamper us from actually going is like that sense of community. You know, if I don't have a friend to work out with and I may not be at my fitness goal, then I may just like give up midway because I feel like alone. But my friend actually invited me to my first yoga class in like 2018 or 2019. And it was like a hot yoga sculpt. It was like such a hard class, but everybody is so awesome in that class and so helpful. And it's a little quiet, but after everybody's like checking up on each other, because it's like you're in a 100-degree room lifting weights and doing some crazy poses and stuff. I love the community aspect of it. And I guess my question would be like, do you think at this time when people are focusing on like trying to actually get into that like present mindset that they could do it alone? Or did you have help with like community in any way?
It's a little of both. Kind of this inner peace, it's defined differently, I guess, for others. For those on the spiritual path, it could be enlightenment, right? And for others, it could just be like this balance of work and life and just managing themselves to minimize that stress or have no stress at all. And for me, like, I have a very flexible lifestyle and schedule. I live simple, so I really don't really have stress at the moment. And to me, stress can be good or bad, but in essence, it's just how we manage ourselves to deal with all of this. But in terms of community, it's so important, because let's say you're trying to learn a new skill set, or you're just entering a new hobby, whether it's rock climbing, which I love to do, or it's basketball, right? You need kind of your friends, or you need people to kind of give you advice, or just to feed off their energy of how to play or what to do. But also finding that time for yourself. So this kind of balance of the individual and also community, because you need to be focused. The individual needs to be there with actually training or putting that time in for themselves and not relying on community. They also need to be motivated, self-motivated or self-disciplined to want to like grow and get better.
It's kind of like you can't rely on too many people, but you also have to rely on yourself. Like, it is a balance in that aspect. More of like, I wouldn't even say it's like a balance of your time, but it's more of a balance of like your psyche, you know, like how much of your mental are you going to dedicate to trying to be a part of a group, but how much are you going to try to look at yourself and say like, oh, this is right and this is wrong. It seems like you've been training this for a long time. You know, you have more of a flexible lifestyle. And like you said, you're kind of, you don't really have as much stress because of like the way you've kind of built your lifestyle out to be. How did your journey start?
Well, what led me on this journey was basically a combination of things. I think when I was younger, perhaps in middle school, high school, even early college years, I would say I struggled with anxiety and stress and depression. I never realized that until maybe the last couple of years through yoga and what meditation has made me realize within my own emotions and feelings. And some of those feelings were, I would say, more prevalent. These feelings would like impair my judgment, you know, in relationships, even within myself, like create this kind of self-doubt and negativity. And overall, just bring my self-worth and self-esteem a lot lower.
What type of feelings were they were, if you don't mind going into that?
They would be kind of contradicting to each other. Sometimes it would just me be like, you know, you're not worthy, you're not this, or you're not capable of doing this. Sometimes it'd just be laziness, just stagnation, not wanting to change or grow.
It just seems really interesting because I've never actually heard that somebody's like found it through like yoga or meditation. Like most of the time it's like, oh, I saw a therapist and they diagnosed me with this or something, or my friends think I'm like, you know, I may be going through something, but you found it in a very like introspective manner.
Yeah. And I mean, I would credit yoga as and the gym as my therapy. I've never sat down with a therapist or counselor for multiple sessions. I have like maybe been to one perhaps. And don't get me wrong, those are essential for everyone. But for me, I've just done an accumulation of things to help kind of relieve and kind of lead me on this path and what I was looking for. One major trigger that really started all of this was one time in bed, I was trying to reflect on my day and what I did on that day. And I knew I went to work, I went to the gym, but other than that, I could not remember anything. And I tried so hard, but my mind was just clouded and elsewhere. When something bothers me, it's on my mind throughout the day. And I'm sure most of us can relate. Like it will linger on until it may be forgotten, whatever, like a couple years later or being distracted by something. But at the time, I had broken up with my ex-girlfriend and I found out she moved on so quickly. And it did devastate me so much. It broke my heart, but it did give me closure. And with that, it still resulted in just feelings of anger, frustration, and of course, like a cloud of memories of just everything we've been through. So going back to that night when I was in bed, it was just frustrated me so much that I couldn't focus. I couldn't focus at all. And I tried like so hard. I couldn't think of anything from morning till up to that point. I started to judge myself of how I felt. And then I realized, you know, that day, like that night, that evening, I was not present at all with everything else I did earlier. So when I was at work with my clients, my mind was elsewhere. It was stuck on the past or just on this person. And then when I was at the gym earlier, I don't even know what I did. I don't remember that workout. Or
you just sat on the weight bench the entire time.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it took longer rest times instead of pushing myself on some sets. But that time, from then on, I realized I need to focus on my well-being. And I wasn't really clearly set on like what it was, but I knew I didn't want to feel like this. And that my happiness, my contentment, my joy was dependent on outside, externally, rather than on myself, within myself.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that sometimes like those click moments that you have there, sometimes people think, oh, you're like standing on top of like Mount Everest or something. And you realize like the beauty in life, like sometimes it's like the really, really bad moments when you're like laying in bed and you're just feeling all these horrible feelings and thoughts. Like those are the moments that inspire you to like change your life and stuff. I totally understand you because I've had tons of sleepless nights too, where I'm just like laying in bed and I'm thinking of everything, particularly like when I was like looking for a job amidst the pandemic. But I remember too, there was this one time where I read a lot and I like misplaced my Kindle and I couldn't find it for like 2 weeks and I had no idea where I put it. Like it was absolutely crazy. And it was just something so small and insignificant, but it's something where I'm like, I use it every single day. I don't understand why I would do something like misplacing it. I was talking with a couple people and they're like, oh, maybe you put it on top of your car and you drove off. And I was thinking, I'm like, I would never do something like that. Like, that's so like stupid. But then I'm like thinking that could be a situation because I wasn't present. Like, I have no absolute clue where it is. Somebody could have broken into my car, stole it, but I would never know because I wasn't present in that situation. I think that's like a very valid point where it's important to like be mindful and focus on like each task, because you know, if you aren't, it could lead to just like some dangers and stuff like that. And if you aren't focused at your job or if you aren't focused during your workout, you aren't going to get fulfillment out of it.
Exactly. There was this study by Harvard, and just the average person wanders about 40% of their time. Their mind wanders 40% of the time. So that's nearly half the time we may not be present, right?
Yeah.
So, and like you're saying, we can be missing out on life, and our mind is elsewhere just because of where our attention and focus is.
That's very true. I mean, I think sometimes at least minds can wander possibly because of other things going on, like they're too busy. But it's kind of interesting because when we were looking back at your situation, like a lot of times people think minds wander because of like a short attention span, but it seems like your mind and my mind also does this too, wanders because of like past decisions we may have made and maybe feeling guilty in some aspects and self-deprecation. Like with you, when you were trying to, you know, you were going through a lot, sometimes I think we as humans, we try to get like closure from some situations. What are your thoughts on just like, you know, looking back at the past and like just saying like receiving closure or just like stopping it?
I think it's essential. You know, like we perhaps have gone through childhood trauma. We may or may not know that, right? Because sometimes feelings are suppressed because of certain, or memories can be suppressed because emotions are so high, and it just kind of remove that memory from within us. And then it kind of affects us subconsciously. It could affect us in our relationships. It can make things cyclical. But in terms of you know, what you're saying, I think it is essential to do a sense of reflection. You know, like athletes, they do, they look back at film, right, to see what mistakes they've done. And it's kind of a similar sense of if we can do that, whether it's through yoga or sometimes hiking, for me would do that job too. Hiking or going on a mountain bike ride, just to reflect, because I have nothing else to think about except what I'm currently doing. And of course my thoughts of the past or the future is right there in that moment. So mindful movements or mindful meditations can be a good way also. But looking back and in introspection, we need to understand ourselves fully. Like, can, if I were to ask you, or if I were to ask anyone else, like, do you know yourselves within? Like, like fully, do you really understand yourselves? What makes you tick? What makes you angry? What makes you joyful? You know, and when we can understand these things, we can either perhaps avoid things in a certain way, or we have a better response to things. Like sometimes small things, like perhaps like losing that Kindle or misplacing it, right? It's how we can manage that kind of perception of what happened to that. You know, understanding that it could be something materialistic or something that's replaceable, right? Where we can be like, we can try to start to break it down and be like, okay, maybe I just did this, and what I can do is replace this item, right? Because I could just spend $100, $200. And in terms of something deeper, maybe we did something bad. Maybe we lied or cheated on someone or on a test, right? And we don't want to repeat that. So we have to kind of understand these emotions that we've done and to change our behavior and to just optimize ourselves for the better.
I really appreciate that you're talking about it in like a self-reflection sense. I think sometimes people mix closure up with like trying to make things right. And a lot of times things aren't going to be right. Like, we don't live in a perfect world by any means. So I think closure is definitely more having closure with yourself and understanding like, okay, I did this action. Like, I've evolved from it. And I think that's all part of the human journey. Like, there's always going to be things that make me tick. You know, I always tell my girlfriend, I'm like, you're dating a psycho. You know, like, I have so many things that make me tick. And the Kindle was like one small one, but I was just like, so like just bothered by it and everything until I bought one. And then my brother ended up finding it. It was hilarious. But I think it's so like important that we try and practice introspection a lot. And so you went through this part of your journey where, you know, you're laying in bed, you're thinking about all the thoughts in the past or the future, and you decide, you know, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to start, you know, focusing on the present. And the light bulb kind of switched on. So from there, what were some of the actions you did to really train your mind to like be mindful?
Yeah, so then I just realized that I did put my happiness in something external. It was a person, it was a relationship. But everything that I did, it didn't feel like I was set on this journey, like of where I'm at right now. But it all just really started with going to the gym. I used that gym as a place to just physically exert myself through like strength training and movement. I used to be like a gym rat when I was younger. And I forgot how much I love that. And just kind of this hobby of things inwards, because I can control how I want to get better, whether it's more flexibility, more strength. So I started just going to the gym daily, lifting weights, doing body weight training, taking fitness classes. And when I started taking yoga classes, that provided this sense of relief for me. It would sometimes be a physical release, and other times it could be emotional or just to feel good. And my two older sisters teach yoga also. So I took one of their classes, and at the end, we have Savasana, which is meditation. And even though it's only for a few minutes, I felt so present and so alive. Like, it was kind of this feeling of peacefulness and bliss, and nothing else mattered. I couldn't think of my past with this person. I couldn't think of anything in the future. I was just like in the moment, just feeling good physically and mentally.
No, I totally agree. I'm such a big hot yoga advocate, man. I think with me, I may not have the same ability to just focus on the present when I go to the class. Like, I always come in where, you know, there's so many things going on my mind. And generally at the start of the class, to give some context, I mean, the room is like 100 degrees. And you're on a mat, and generally the teacher at the time, you start like with like an intention at the start of the class, like, hey, let's just focus on this one thing. And then you just go through a rigorous class. That's insane. But during Savasana at the end, where you're just kind of meditating, like, I remember I'd always think like, wow, this is why I love it, because for me at least, like it's so hardcore that I can't focus on anything else. Like I'm not going to focus on like my problems or anything because I'm going to pass out if I do. You know, I need to focus on my breath work and really just like being there in the moment.
That, no, that's exactly what yoga is about. It's meditative, and you can come as you are, whether you're happy right now. I just do yoga as I am, but you know, it does help for people who are trying to heal from something or people trying to relieve some type of mental stress. And yeah, there's nothing else like to focus on except that heat, your focus and your body, right? And just for that hour and just to survive, if anything.
So do you train in just hot yoga or do you do traditional yoga?
Well, hot yoga is kind of, it's like an add-on, I would say, because not all studios provide that, right? So there are many forms of yoga, but essentially yoga is just meditation. And there's vinyasa, there's hatha, there's Bikram, there's yoga for anything. Now we have yoga with cats, we have yoga with goats, you know, yoga with even beer and wine. But traditionally, yoga is just for yourself. It's for the body and for the mind. There's that union. But for me, I actually don't do too much of hot yoga or teach hot yoga. But I do have that option too if I want to turn up the heat. But for me, from what I've been trained by my mentor, is just to kind of keep it traditional, like not to label it. Because when we say power yoga or yoga for climbers, yoga for basketball players, right, it kind of deters people. Whether they're new or they're not in this part of this subculture, whether it's climbing or basketball players, like yoga is just for everyone. And for me, I teach a little of everything. I would do yin and restorative, which is just longer and much slower. I can also teach some power and vinyasa, which is some movement, some flow with the breath. Yoga is just about flexibility, right? So for me, it could be physically, it can also be mentally. And I would like to adapt anything. And that's what yoga has taught me, to adapt with the current situation of everything. And also just to be flexible with anything that goes on, whether it's rescheduling or it's working or teaching, you know, back-to-back classes without getting a break.
Got it. So yeah, I mean, that's really big. I never actually thought of it in terms of like flexibility and mentally. Like I brought one of my weightlifting friends to a yoga class one time. I think it was like more of like a power one, but it's because he was insulting yoga. And he's like, oh, why do you do yoga? You aren't going to go bench with me or anything. I'm like, dude, just do one of these classes. Trust me, you'll feel amazing at the end. And he did. He really, really loved it. But I never thought of it in terms of like just the flexibility aspect and mentally. Like, you know, I always see like sometimes Instagram posts or I talk with some people in like my business industry, at least, where they don't have any flexibility. What they'll do is they'll like mark up their Google calendars and they'll say, hey, during this time, I'm focused on this. During this time, I'm focused on this. And although I applaud their efforts, like, even though it's organized, I'm not sure if that's like a very realistic way to take things because there's no flexibility within it.
Yeah, that kind of goes with that fixed mindset. And that reminds me of just that fixed mindset versus the open mindset. Right? There's a book called Mindsets by, I think, Dr. Carol S. Dweck. And she just talks about just like that open mindset, that growth mindset, where we do want to change, we can adapt to any challenges or situations. But when we're fixated, we can be stagnant, right? If we're just pumping the same weights every time, there's no growth in that, right? We're just okay with that. Like for your friend, for example, if all he did was weights and strength training, he's going to neglect kind of his flexibility and his range of motion, you know, and it may like hinder his performance. You know, if you do want to get stronger, sometimes it does require a little more range of motion and it requires this balance of doing other things. This repetitive stress is kind of one thing of just doing things all the time. And that can create burnout for, you know, in the workplace. It could create injury physically.
Yeah, man, I completely agree. Like, yoga stretching is so much different than like regular stretching before you lift weights or go to the gym. Like, it's not just like a physical experience at that point, but like, it's almost like spiritual in a way. Like, there's some component of your body that just speaks to your mind, and you're just like, wow, like everything's just interconnecting in the whole scheme of things. It's a beautiful thing. And I think it's so big to at least stress on the physical during this time, stress on like how important it is to have like physical goals and fitness goals and health goals, as opposed to just focusing on like the monetary ones. How are you able to, you know, I know you're obviously in the fitness realm, but for some of your clients you work with, how are you able to tell them, you know, let's turn off work during this time and just focus on like health and fitness? Because for somebody who's starting out or just getting back into it, it could be really hard.
Well, definitely. For me as a yoga teacher, I sometimes don't even give them that answer. I kind of create the space and help them find this answer. And as a yoga teacher, I'm really trying to lead people into their own self by working out physically, by physically exhausting their body so that they can kind of get into this mental state and also relieve themselves of any mental stress or work-related stress. So it varies on the individual. So I can't force anything. That's kind of one part of yoga, you know, to allow people for themselves to be part of that journey, as we each have our own. For my other clients that I work privately, we set goals. That's always important, setting like short-term goals and long-term goals. But in reality, starting to have this kind of vision for themselves, like what exactly do they see themselves, or what exactly they want to achieve? And we try to break it down into very small part, like weekly goals, daily goals, and how can we achieve that through repetition and consistency? And how do we balance that out?
Yeah, goals are so important, but vision's even more important than goals, I think. I remember there was this one time I wanted to like lose a bunch of weight. I'm not sure what I was going through. I guess I was going through some weird phase. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to try keto diet. And like my vision at the time was like, I wanted to be super fit. But instead of the actual vision, I just focused on like my goals, if that makes sense. Like I was just focusing on like the number, like I wanted to get down to this weight. And once I got down to that, like that goal weight, it totally like was not my vision at all. Like I was just like feeling super depleted. Like I had no energy at work because it just wasn't my natural body weight by any means. And I didn't do it in like the healthiest way because, you know, keto is like a pretty complicated diet in its own right. So I think it's like really important too to like not only be flexible with like your livelihood and everything, but also with like your vision, you know, because something you may want at that moment when you first decide to work out or get a new job, like we see it a lot of times with college where like somebody goes into their career because they believe, hey, I'm going to be a doctor. And then over time, like things completely change and then they're a business owner or they could be working as like a veterinarian or something like that.
No, exactly. Like when I think about just vision and just goals, sometimes it's just good just to do it. Like no matter what it is, be explorative, just try everything, be adventurous.
Now, does yoga ever kind of focus on that area, like being explorative and like bringing in other outside perspectives and, you know, trying new things? Because I know you guys in yoga, at least, they have different meditation or retreats that they could go to for several days where they're up somewhere and they may not have as much access to technology and it's purely like reflective.
Yeah. It just depends on which sense you look at it from. Because if you look in Western culture, through America, we have all kinds of yoga, like I mentioned, right? We have yoga with sheep or goats. We have yoga with beer and wine. So that kind of takes away what yoga is about. It is nice. It's kind of just a novelty. But the other sense of yoga would be for healing, for a disconnection. I did go on a yoga retreat for the first time in September this year. It was completely safe. It was very small, which was great. It was held in Lake Tahoe. And it was for me to just reflect for myself. Also did disconnect with work, even though I'm not as busy as most of you guys, but, and just also connect with community. I found a bunch of great people that I can just talk to, and we have this commonality through yoga. But what I felt during this retreat was just so much like introspection at the time. Not only was a lot of yoga, it was a lot of meditation. It was a lot of free time also, like to myself and with others. Like I burned over like 3,000 calories.
Wow.
And I slept so well. I think I had saw my watch and it said like my sleep quality of deep sleep was like over 2 hours. I was like, I've never seen that before.
That's amazing. I think it's so important to have like, well, first good sleep and community in that aspect, but also just like at the end of the day, like you're kind of saying like a safe space, like I think that's what it comes down to, a dedicated space where you could really just focus on the present. Cause I think sometimes like we were talking about it earlier, sometimes a gym may not be somebody's cup of tea. Like I constantly see it where somebody will be on like an elliptical and they'll be using their phone and responding to business emails, or somebody will be laying down on the mats where you should do sit-ups and like FaceTiming somebody. And it's like, no, that's not what you should be doing when you're at the gym. Like sure, it has free Wi-Fi, but that's not the main point of it. Like how important is it for you to have a dedicated space for yourself to focus on the present and mindfulness?
I feel like you come to my gym if you see the same things that I see. It's so essential, I think, daily. And I think that's the hardest part. Like right now, I just was presented a work opportunity to create a meditation program. That's something I want to provide in the future also, which is a certain program. And what it is too, because I just use it from my own experience, that it's hard to meditate. It's hard to be silent. So perhaps it could be for everyone like a guided meditation. It could be something as short as 5 minutes, 10 minutes. We never want to do things so long. So even yoga, maybe do a yoga class online on YouTube. You can find something for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. That could just kind of like nudge you, push you in that direction, because you know what we practice on just gets better, gets stronger, you know, and give it more time, you start to develop this kind of passion, this enjoyment and fulfillment from meditation or yoga. You're going to start to develop like a sense that you want more. And sometimes that 20 minutes is not enough. But for the everyday beginner, just you need some type of mentor, whether it's investing your money in classes or a mentor, because your time, of course, is valuable, but sometimes some things are priceless, you know. And if it's your well-being, your self-care, your growth, you can't put money on that sometimes.
That's true. That's 100% true. Do you guys ever work on things like breath work at all, or like the Wim Hof method by any means?
Yes. So Wim Hof method kind of is some pranayama, basically. He's just kind of cultivated it into his brand and his name. But Wim Hof is great. He's a yogi himself. But pranayama is very essential for just conscious breathing. I think we're the only animals that consciously breathe and subconsciously breathe, right? So if we're subconsciously breathing, we may be causing tightness in certain areas of the body, the neck, the chest, the upper back, the shoulders. All of these areas can derive from just like shallow breathing or just tension and just kind of putting our body in this parasympathetic state of just stress. But breath work is important because you focus on that and that alone. It's kind of hard to breathe or it's hard to focus on breathing and being present, right? So in the beginning, when we set the intention for yoga, right, that's usually essential with or combined with the breath work, the pranayama.
Yeah, that's super deep. I've never thought of it subconscious and conscious breathing, man. I think it's very important to practice breath work or meditation. And and yoga in general. Like, I'm a big advocate for all those things. And I try to encourage everybody, even, you know, even in the corporate environment, like when somebody says they do yoga, I'm like, okay, they kind of got their head together, because they're like, they're at least trying to, like, you know, they're at least trying to practice mindfulness and focus in that moment. Like, I always try to talk about it whenever I can. I think the one big deterrent for people is, and we kind of went over this a little, but I was wondering if you could go into it a little more, is like, during this time when people want to practice fitness and get into that state of mindfulness, and not just mindfulness, but just improve their overall health, how would you suggest people really get that good base and start it off?
Using just resources, what's available. Sometimes it's through work. Like, I work in corporate fitness, so we provide that for people, and not all the employees take advantage of that. But now, you know, we have live classes, we have Zoom classes. We also created a virtual studio for some of these sites, and these are like ServiceNow, HPE, NVIDIA. All these companies have this resources, and it's just a matter of the individual to kind of set that for themselves and just take that time. And like I was saying earlier, it is important just kind of being explorative, and also kind of having that kind of motivating factor of, hey, I need to do this, whether it's for my physical health or my mental health. And it's kind of also learning time management, because, for example, my neighbor, they were asking me about my schedule and what I can offer for them. And I realized one of them is always working. He's working from home, and his wife is just a stay-at-home mother and mother of two. And I hear the baby crying sometimes, and I realize, oh, I can't help her that much, because she is busy from this time to this time. It's nearly three quarters of the day. So her is different, but for ourselves, we have to kind of set that time, whether it's short or longer, after work, before work. It is very difficult, but it's something that we need to, like, sit down and reflect on. Maybe it's looking at our agenda or our planner and just seeing, like, hey, I can fit this in here, and kind of just puzzle that through for the individual.
Yeah, that's so big. I could only imagine what parents are going through during this time. I'm glad that I don't have to necessarily think about that yet. But yeah, I think it's so important to have a dedicated, like, just like time management. And I think at the end of the day, like, wrapping everything up is just making it like a priority. Sometimes priorities don't need to be based on, like, career trajectory or having the most muscles by any mean, but really just focusing on, like, hey, I want to have a clear headspace. I want to be able to have the ability to focus on the present. Like, it's like a something that needs to be trained like everything else. So I think it's making it a big priority at the end of the day.
Right. And people look, like, for some of the people that take my classes, they look forward to it. And it's because it's something that's rewarding to them after a busy day. It could be yoga, it could be a core class, it could be mat Pilates, but they just need something to bring their focus elsewhere. Right? That's kind of the theme of the message, of just redirecting our energy, our focus into what matters. You know, when we're at work, just focus on work. When we're outside of work, focus on whatever that is, whether it's family or your me time. That's just important to cultivate for each person.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for chatting about this message. I feel like it's something that needs to be heard by people who, you know, who don't necessarily acknowledge it and maybe busy in a grind and a circadian rhythm per se, and people who just need to be reminded about it in general. Like, I definitely am going to be doing some yoga stretches after this and maybe take a virtual online class. I guess my last question is, like, what's next for you, and where can people find you if they want to, you know, take one of your classes or get in contact with you?
So what's next on my journey, or just my goals in mind, is I'm currently working on my personal training certification. I'm also trying to become a 500-hour yoga teacher. So I'm doing my 300 hours right now. But ideally, I want to have my own yoga school. I would like to, like, lead yoga teacher trainings, host more workshops, with everything going on, some of these could be online perhaps and digital. And then also one day I would love to be like a traveling yogi. I can kind of be anywhere at the moment, and it's kind of nice to have that option and to have that leisure. But it'll just be great to host like workshops or even retreats, yoga retreats for people. And like we mentioned before, a yoga retreat can help people disconnect with just the busyness of life and reset themselves through yoga, through community. Another thing is just to grow my personal brand with YouTube and like a virtual library of content. And I want to provide that for people who are wanting to start some type of transformation, and they want to use yoga, they want to use fitness part of that for part of their journey. And people can find me on YouTube, Cali Collective. They can also find me on TikTok, which is Cali Collective also. And then on Instagram, it's ca.inspire. And I guess any of these platforms, people can message me directly if they would like to work with me privately, or if they would like to take a few of the classes that I offer.
I think you'll succeed definitely in opening up that yoga practice. And I think it's super awesome that you have that goal of just, I mean, I would love to just be a traveling businessman, but unfortunately, I don't know if that's the case, but just that aspect of freedom of being anywhere and everywhere, like that's such a beautiful thing. So best of luck on your journey. I'm going to put all of your links in the description below in case anybody wants to contact you or connect with you. That way it'll be a little easier to find you. And thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate you having me as a guest and also being part of something special for yourself and something that you're trying to grow. And likewise, you know, everything we work for on our own or with community, we're just going to get better for the most part. So thank you so much.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Unmuted Generations. I hope you're able to take something away from it, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please make sure to leave a rating, review, or subscribe to the podcast. As always, I really appreciate the support. And as always, as a lasting message, I challenge you to ask yourself the question, how far are you willing to expand the horizons of your thinking and actively seek out discomfort to evolve and create a happy life for yourself? I'll see you guys in the next episode.